You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Out of Excuses. I'm going to give you like the top 10 excuses I found for not going to church. And these, you know, not intended to be funny. It kind of is what it is. The 10th one I found was, I go to brunch on Sundays. We say that's what we do. We go to brunch. You say, well, is that really any reason to not go to church? Well, if that's the reason you're using, then maybe you don't go to church because you go to brunch. The 9th one, which I thought would have been farther up the list, church is full of hypocrites, right? So that's a good reason. And you say, well, I don't want to be with other hypocrites, and I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I won't even go. Number 8, I'm against organized religion. Well, we are disorganized to a certain degree, so you might feel a lot better here. Very organized, though. So I don't like organized religion. Number 7, church people hate women, gays, divorced people, ethnic groups, interracial couples, insert whatever you want to put in there. So that's why I'm not going, because all, you know, churches hate these people, which is not true. Number 6, I don't believe in God. Great reason not to go to church. If you don't believe in God, you're probably not going to go to church unless things get pretty desperate. There aren't any atheists in foxholes. You get in enough trouble. Even the vilest person you can come up with, they get in enough trouble, they start calling out for God. Very fascinating. Number 5, church people are so judgmental. And you know what? Some of these are true. It's not all wrong and all bad if that's your excuse, because there are some churches and some church people who can be extremely judgmental. Number 4, I'm just not being fed. So they quit going to a church because they were going and weren't getting anything out of it. Number 3, 10 years ago, someone at some church somewhere was really awful to me. Okay? We don't do it with restaurants. I had a bad experience, so I quit all restaurants. It's absurd. So if you had a bad experience at a church, don't just say, well, I'm not going to church ever again anywhere. Find a church. You say, but what if they're all screwed up? Well, you're screwed up. That's why you're looking for one. So keep looking. Don't give up. Number 2, I feel like I need to get right with God before I can come to church. Now, this is a big one. Let me tell you what this looks like from my perspective. It's like running an ER, being an ER doctor, and the calls come in and say, yes, I have just fallen off a 3-story balcony. I think I broke my neck. But I tell you what, I'm going to take a really quick bath. I've got people here going to clean me up. And I'm going to try to get to feeling better before I come down there and let you help me. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Then why do you do that with God and with church and say, well, I'm going to get it all together and then I'll show up? The reason that you go to God first, it's not together. And you need his help. And then the number one deal, what do you think the number one deal is? Churches just want my money. See, everybody said money on that one. And some churches, unfortunately, you do get that feeling. It's not that we don't want your money. God doesn't need your money. You need to give your money. I mean, what does God need money for? Let me read you some quotes. This is George Washington Carver. 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. William Arthur Ward. It is wise to direct your anger toward problems, not people, to focus your energies on answers, not excuses. Michael Straczynski, people spend too much time finding other people to blame, too much energy finding excuses for not being what they are capable of being, and not enough energy putting themselves on the line, growing out of the past, and getting on with their lives. Benjamin Franklin, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. And James Cash Penney, I do not believe in excuses. I believe in hard work as the prime solvent of life's problems. Otherwise known as J.C. Penney. Go to Genesis chapter 3. This excuse mess has been going on from scratch. Look at Genesis 3:12. They, you know, Adam, Eve have sinned. She ate the fruit. And by the way, it's not an apple. People say, oh, she ate the apple. That is not in the Bible. She did not eat an apple. We don't know what fruit it was. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Blames the woman. making excuses. I didn't man up and say, no, we're not doing this. I was with her. She did it. I let it happen. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So he points to her. She points to the snake. It all goes down. At some point, you've got to stop making excuses and take responsibility for your actions. And that's where the big word repentance comes in, where you say, okay, God, I'm not just sad or sorry that I did something. I'm really going to admit that I did this and stop making excuses for my behavior, my addictions, my sins, and change it and let you kick in and do what you want to do in my life. Go to Exodus chapter 4, Genesis, Exodus. If you got a Bible, just go to the next one over. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. So God goes to Moses and he says, you know, has all these experiences with God, and then God goes to call him out and say, okay, I want you to do something. Then Moses said to the Lord, and God has asked him to go deliver his people, and he says, oh, my Lord. And if you're wondering where that phrase, oh, my Lord, comes from, it's right out of the Bible. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you spoke to me, your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, you would think you're talking to God. I mean, like in person you're talking to God, and he's making excuses? And he says again, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Get somebody else, I'm out. Now that is Moses. So you think, well, that sounds like me. Well, you're in great company. He was just as flaky as we are. Not here am I, send me, but here am I. Get somebody else, dude. I'm out. I do not want to do this. I can't do this. And then look what happens. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. So now when God speaks to Moses, Moses has got to tell Aaron, and then Aaron's got to tell the people because Moses was chicken. You don't need someone mediating between you and other people. You just say, God, okay, I can't, but you can. You live in me, use me, help me, talk to me. I am out of excuses on this one. And see what happens. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Just keep going right. Jeremiah chapter 1, and similar deal here. And the reason I'm highlighting these two passages is I think this is what shuts a ton of Christians down. We lock up and go, I can't do it. Jeremiah 1 verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He's saying, this is before you were even born. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I'm a youth. I'm just a kid. There is a world of kids out there who need somebody to step up. And a bunch of adults say it, and it doesn't register. Another kid says it and says, you know what? Enough already. What are we doing? Talked to a guy yesterday, a guy in the church. We were out and met this guy running this business, 24-ish, I guess, had been completely out there partying, kind of got to where he was doing drugs, and he started selling drugs. He freaked. He was raised in the church, and he's back. He's like, man, I can't do this anymore. You have to be there in people's lives when they go over the edge. And there we were. And I told this friend, I said, this is why we even were here today. You think, well, we went to go do this or do that or eat or whatever. It's not about all that. It's always about the people where you go. You say, well, we went on vacation to this place. Good for you if that's where you felt led to go. But if God gave you permission to go on vacation even where you went, there are people there who have been crying out to God probably. And bam, you intersect with them. And you have a conversation or not. And by the way, there ain't no vacation from being a Christian. Oh, I'm taking some time off. What does that mean? Try that on your wife. Sweetie, I'll be back Tuesday. I'm taking some time off from our marriage. Can't promise what will or won't happen, but I promise to come back. Some of you are all doing that without telling her, but I understand that too. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Some young guy I've been given that named Jeremiah. Go to Luke chapter 9. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 9, 23. Big old long chapter. We'll jump through it a little bit. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, and this is over and over in the Bible, different gospels say the same thing, but this is the deal. If anyone desires to come after me, you say, okay, I want to follow Jesus. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And then jump down to verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Romantic statement. And he said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Like, you say you want to follow me? Dude, I don't even have a house. I don't even have a place to live. I had this conversation with a guy this week as well. We're talking about, you know, he's made some choices and given up a ton of stuff and moved in a certain place and has made tremendous sacrifices to be in a place of ministry. And we were talking about money and possessions. And I said, do you still own a car? He said, like two. I said, well, you're not very committed. Why don't you sell your cars and give that to the poor? You're all that. You know, I wasn't being mean to him. Like, you know, we're nowhere near this where you literally have nowhere to lay your head. Now, homeless people say, oh, that's me. Well, maybe not. See, we think, well, they got nothing. They got no problems. Unless a homeless person is walking with God, they may have a whole nother set of problems, and it just looks like it's simple in that category. Because there may be other choices they made that made them get to the place where they're homeless. You say, oh, you're being mean to the homeless. I'm an equal opportunity meaner, right? I'm not going easy on anybody, including me. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So you're going to follow me? That's what it's going to look like. Then another guy, look at this next one. Then he said to another, then Jesus says to this next guy, follow me. Which is only so many places where you have Jesus quoted as saying that to someone. And he says to someone who's on the road with him, follow me. And then look at this excuse. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now you think, well, that sounds like a reasonable request, right? Certainly he's going to be okay with this reason. It's not an excuse. And by the way, your translation may actually say, let me go make arrangements in case my dad dies, that'll be taken care of. Now look what Jesus comes back with. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now you say, well, that's cruel. I've read that stuff like when I was a kid. I'm like, what? Of course, I was too afraid to ask questions. And I get smacked on the head for questioning anything. You know, you can't ask questions. Of course you can ask questions. That doesn't make any sense. But Jesus knew this guy's heart. You say, well, was he unwilling to follow? It's not that. Jesus knows you. He knows me. He knows what your issues are. He knows what you've locked up on and won't let go of. Another conversation this week, a guy, one of the godliest guys I have ever known in my life. And he made a comment. He said, I've got a certain issue, this thing in my life that I lock up on. I was like, wow. And he said, I don't think people get it. But to me, it's very serious. See, you know what your deal is. You know you. And you know what you have a hard time releasing on. So Jesus says, hey, follow me. And you go, well, let me go make arrangements for my dad's, whatever. He goes, you know what? Let the dead bury the dead. You need to come follow me because I know what your deal is, why you are making that excuse instead of doing what I said. Now listen, if you've cut me out and you're going to cut me out after this, please listen to what I'm about to tell you. When Jesus says things like this, you have to trust him. Because what you don't know is if he does know your heart, when he says, follow me, and he knows you have great concern for your father who's about to die maybe, if you would just follow him, you know where he might lead you first? To go take care of your dad. But you've got to tuck in behind him first and choose to follow and then let him decide that's what we're going to do, not I'm going to do what I want to do and then go follow you. Because some people live that way and burn up 40 years because they can never pull the trigger and just trust him. God is not going to abandon anyone or anything. He cares more about this stuff than you ever will. He just has a tremendous challenge getting us to yield our will to his will and trust him. Does that make sense? Yes. And if I lay something down at Jesus' feet and I go, okay, God, this is really hard. This is really impossible. But you know what? I'm out of excuses. Here it is. And I lay it down at his feet. Sometimes Jesus leaves it there. And sometimes he picks it up and he says, now you have given it to me. Before, when you had it, you took it and that's why you had it. Now you have given it to me. Now I give it back to you. And you have it because I gave it to you, not because you took it and held on. Does that make sense? So let's say you're a young girl and you say, God, I can't stand being single. I don't want to go to bars. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to share my life with someone. I'm going to go find someone. And he says, no, wait for me. I can't wait for you anymore. You're too slow. I got eggs cooking in here. They're not going to last forever. You know, enough already. Hard-boiled eggs already, God. You know, let's do this. A man just said, preach. Obviously some confusion about what I'm talking about. It's a whole nother set of things. So you say, well, then what are you suggesting I do? Now listen, this is serious. So you march up to the foot of the cross and you say, Lord, I hand you this thing called being single. And I yield it to you. And I tell you that if you choose for me to be single the rest of my life, I yield to that. But I'm going to give it to you. And if you take it, and that's what you hand back, great. But if you choose to hand me back a man to share my life with, then I will yield to that as well. But I trust you. That's an arranged marriage. You know what? You don't want anything else but an arranged marriage. If you have arranged to figure out your own little life, you're in trouble. If you go to your father and say, I'd like you to arrange my marriage, find me someone, bring him to me, let me know it's him, and I'll marry him. Amazing how that goes better. Where were we? Did I read all that? I read all that. Oh, no, the last one. Not the last thing, the last thing in this passage. It says, follow me, but he said, Lord, let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. I got to run by and say bye to everybody. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Dude, just do it. It's always some excuse. I'm going to trust God as soon as. I hear business guys. I've heard this my whole life. Young guys get out of college. I'm going to make, and they got a number. Used to be like $1 million. It's usually jumped to 10 or 5. And I'm going to make my money. I'm going to work hard. I don't care what it costs me, my wife, my kids, everything. I'm going to hit this goal. And once I've got this nest egg, then I'm going to trust God and do whatever he wants me to do. Good luck with that. That'll never happen. Because the 5 turns to 10, turns to 20, turns to 50. There's never enough. And if you don't start walking with him on the little stuff, it's very hard when you get to the big stuff to say yes and yield. Because it owns you. Go to Luke 14. This is a kind of sad, intense, amazing story that Jesus told. Luke 14, jump in at verse 16. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. So this is like some rich guy who has a big old Mac Daddy dinner and invites a bunch of people. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited. Now, you don't send people when dinner is ready to go tell people, hey, it's on. They should have known that. The problem is they're not showing up. You've prepared all of this and they don't show up. So his servant at supper time to those who were invited, come for all things are now ready. So the servant, not the owner, not the guy who puts on the dinner, but this servant of his is sent out and says, hey, you were invited to the big supper. It's happening. Are you coming? But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, oh, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask if you have me excused. It's interesting to me that the word excused, the root word of it is excuse. And some people say, oh, excuse me. And in some cases, it's really excuse me. That is the excuse. I am the excuse for why this is not going to happen. So he bought a piece of land. Oh, I got to go check on that. Let me tell you something. If you want to be at a party, the piece of land can wait. You do what you want to do, right? Everybody in this room, including me, we do what we want to do when we want to do it. And if it's important enough and the party's big deal enough, oh, we got to be at that party because the right people will be there. And if we go to that party, then
we'll invite them to our party, and then we're a party to the real party people, and we're important, and it'll be great. Oh, that's not such an important party. We'll pass. So obviously, this is not an important party. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. So I got 10 new oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. It's supper time, and you're going to go work oxen? And still another, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, that makes sense. If he married the wrong woman, then she's telling him what to do, and he can't go. So, verse 21, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, so he goes and does that. And here they come. He says, master, it's done as you commanded and still there's room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. So where does it go? From the people he invited to the streets and lanes of the city. And then it jumps to what? Highways and hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. People say, well, it's not about the numbers. Jesus died on a cross to save everybody. And he went to the Jews first, and then the thing had to expand because some of them wouldn't respond. So he goes, okay, they won't come to the party I've invited them to, so let's go after any and everyone. And sometimes you find little pockets of really fancy, rich people. I'm not against this, although I kind of am. I don't like these places. I don't like going into churches that are all black because that doesn't make any sense. I don't like going to churches that are all Mexican because that doesn't make any sense. All poor, all rich. I just don't like that. I think heaven is going to be everybody. I tell people there ain't going to be no South Heaven. It's everybody. And I hear all these excuses. Well, we're following Jesus and he has led us to reach really high-end, articulate, educated, rich, fancy party people. I'm like, give me a verse for it. Any verse. Pick any verse. You can't find one. Oh, we just like each other. Oh, great for you, but the world's going to hell. And they wonder why they're not welcome, because they're not welcome where we say they're supposed to be welcome. You should be able to go out into the lanes of the city and to the highways and the hedges and get any old body you find and bring them in here. And they go, boom, I'm welcome. Anybody. That's what it's supposed to look like. Keep reading. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. What a tragedy.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So here's my question. Are you going to live the rest of your life just pulling out of the excuses? Oh yeah, here's why I can't do that. Here's my reason, my excuse. No, can't follow Christ now because of this. Can't be faithful because of this. Can't grow up because of this. Can't quit this because of this. Just too hard, too much, can't do it. Or are you finally going to say to God, all right, I'm out of excuses. Let's do this already. And what is that that he's asked you to do? For some people, it's saying, okay, God, I've said it's the hypocrites. All they want is my money. Boom, boom, boom. I'm never going back to church. All right, I'm out of excuses. I'm going to go. I'm asking you to lead me to a church where I need to go. For some people, it's like, yeah, you know, I know people are Christians. They're not all hypocrites. I'll give you that. But I don't know if I want to do that. You know what? Enough already. If you don't figure this out, you're not going to make heaven. You say, well, I think I will. Based on what? Find out what God says and do something about that. He said, Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no way to get to God but through Jesus. So figure out a way to hook up with Jesus. What is your excuse for not doing that? Oh, it'll be this or that. It probably can't be much worse than it is right now because you got nothing. You're going to trade hell for heaven, death for life, darkness for light. The power of Satan in your life, which you know he's at work, evil in your life, for the power of God, that's a good trade.
And maybe everybody thinks you're walking with God and everything's cool, but you're holding on to something that you need to put down at the foot of the cross and say, okay, I'll let go. And if you give it back, great, then you gave it to me. If not, I don't need it anyway, so I'll let it go. Only you know what that is. Only I know what that is in my life right now. Out of excuses, do something already and see what he can do.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.